Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Test. We left off on daf Kuf Ches Amid Beis. We are 10 lines from the end of the page. The last two words on the line are Amar Mar. Today's shir is once again sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. We thank him very much for the sponsorship. So what we are going to discuss today is maintaining eye health, and then talking about refuah in general. What types of refuah are mutter on Shabbos? What types of refuah are usher on Shabbos? Some general advice about refuah. Along the way, we're going to discuss bathing for the sake of refuah. We're going to have a stira, whether one is permitted to bathe in the Yam HaGadol on Shabbos for the sake of refuah, and the Gemara is going to have three resolutions to that stira. We're going to have a Mishnah that's going to tell us that the concept of ma'achal b'riyim, that if a person eats something that a healthy person would normally eat, even if he's doing it, even if it has therapeutic value, nevertheless, that would be mutter on Shabbos because it's something a regular healthy person would eat. The Gemara is going to identify what plant the azov is, and then we're going to go through different cures, different suggestions of cures for mayim megulim. If a person drinks water that was left exposed, and therefore there's a chashash that a nachash, that a snake, had put its venom in that water, so what does one do if one drank the venom of a snake by accident? So a lot that has to do with refuah today. So let's begin 10 lines from the end of the page. Kuf ches amud beis. Amar Maruk v'amar Shmuel. Adam kilorin may erev Shabbos. A person is allowed to soak the kilorin, certain types of herbs, on erev Shabbos. These are types of herbs that you soak in order to create a medicine that's therapeutic for the eyes. And then you can put it on your eyes on Shabbos, and you don't have to worry about anything. You don't have to worry that it looks like that it's a violation of refuah on Shabbos, because since you have to have soaked it on erev Shabbos, it's already a hecker that you're not going to come to be shochik sabmanim. The whole list of refuah on Shabbos is a gzeira mishum tochen, that you might come to grind the ingredients with which you make medication, but this has to already be soaked on erev Shabbos, and therefore there's no concern that anyone is going to be shochik sabmanim. Bar Levi yavakai kamei de marukva. Bar Levi was standing in front of marukva. Chaz yidav amaya tu pasach, and he saw that when he was putting these kilorin on his eyes, he was fluttering his eyes. So amalei kulei hay vade lo sharem marshmuel. Marshmuel wouldn't allow that. That makes it very obvious that you're doing it for refuah and that you're not just washing out your eyes. Shalachei Rabbi Yani l'marukva lishter l'nemar mehanach kilorin de marshmuel. So Rabbi Yani sent to marukva, would you mind sending me some of the kilorin that Shmuel had because I need it for my eyes. So shalachei. So marukva sent back to him shidurim eshadarin lach de lo temat tzarayin. I don't know if that's a play on words. He says I'll send it to you so that you don't say that I'm a tzarayin. You don't say that I'm a stingy person, so I'm happy to send it to you. Ella hachi amar Shmuel, but you should know, if you really want to maintain proper eye health, the better way to do it is not with kilorin. Tova tipas tzorin shachris, just put a little cold water in your eyes in the morning. Ruchitas yadayim raglayim b'chamin arvis mikol kilorin shaba'olam, and you bathe in warm water, your hands and feet in warm water every evening, and that's more effective than all the kilorin you're ever going to have in the entire world. So I'll give you the medicine, but better than the medicine is maintaining proper eye health in the first place, and then you won't require the medication. So the advice is more valuable than the medicine. Tanya Namiyachi, Amar Rabbi Muna Mishum Rabbi Yuda, Tova Tipas Tzonin Shachris Ruchitz Yadayim Raglayim Arvis Mikol Kilorin Shavi'olam, that Rabbi Muna said the same thing, that maintaining eye health with a little cold water in the morning and washing hands and feet in warm water in the evening is better for the eyes than all the kilorin you could possibly have. Hu Ayomer, once we mentioned Rabbi Muna taught something else. Yad la'ayin, if a hand touches one's eyes before he does Netilas Yadayim in the morning, tikatzet, he'd be better off cutting off his hands rather than having them touch the eyes. That's how damaging hands touching the eyes prior to Netilas Yadayim can be. It blinds the eyes, we're going to see, it causes all sorts of physical problems. The Kafachayim in Siman Dalid, when we talk about Hilchos Netilas Yadayim in the morning, Kafachayim quotes the Sefer Solus Bulula, that when we say Ruach Ra is Metame and it's Mechareshes, that Mesames rather are Mechareshes, that it causes one to become blind and it causes one to become deaf. It doesn't, Kafachayim said, I've never seen it in my entire life, never seen someone who went to the doctor, said he's losing his eyesight, and the doctor said, ah, Netilas Yadayim, it's because you didn't wash your hands in the morning. We've never said, and there are lots of people that don't wash their hands in the morning, and then we don't see them to go blind, we don't see them go deaf. So how is one supposed to believe the Divrei Chazal over here? We see Bechush that it doesn't happen. So he says, no, it doesn't mean on a physical level. This is all in a reference to their relationship to Torah, that someone who touches their eyes with unwashed hands, so he's going to be a summa in Divrei Torah. He's going to be a cherish in Divrei Torah that day. He's not going to understand what people are telling him in Divrei Torah. It's going to be like he's deaf in Divrei Torah. He's not going to be able to see the Divrei Torah. He's not going to be able to understand the Divrei Torah that he learns. In the Minchas Aaron, he says that can't be correct, because it would turn out that the only people that get punished for not washing their hands in the morning are Talmidei Chachamim. But people who don't learn, or who don't have any Divrei Torah to begin with, so it turns out that Chotei Niskar, or Bishvil Shani Talmud Chacham, Hifsadeti, I lose out because I'm a Talmud Chacham, that can't be. So he says that by Reach and the Chotam, the Reach that comes from the nose and the mouth, have nothing to do with Torah. The Kaf HaChaim didn't have an explanation for that one that the Gemara is going to identify, that lack of Netilas Yadayim will cause a very bad odor, bad breath, and that kind of thing. So what about the Nir B'chush? What about the fact that the Solus Belula pointed out that we see that it doesn't happen? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Maruch Rucho V'Gova Eshalo Shalom Ruchacham Mel Esofo Shemesame V'Imlo B'Bachruso Yeh B'Ziknuso. He says, no, that's an act, it's a statement of Gaiva for a person to say that I don't see it happen, and therefore the Divrei Chazal are wrong. No, the Divrei Chazal are correct. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make it happen eventually, meaning it's a skula that in his old age, that's what's going to be in his old age. That's where he's going to suffer. He's going to suffer from turning blind and turning deaf. But you know, it's not magic that it happens like mamish right then in the moment. It means that he's more vulnerable for those kinds of problems later on in life because of this. Like any other health concern, if a person, they say smoking is bad for you. I see a person smoking, he's not dropping dead right now. No, he's obviously more vulnerable to everything because he smokes. Does that mean everybody who smokes is going to get that? No, but it's that in that sense, Yad L'Chotam is bad for you. So Yad L'Chotam Tikatzei, if a person puts his hand by his nose before Netilas Yadayim, it should be better to be cut off. Yad L'Peh Tikatzei, same by the mouth. Yad L'Ozen Tikatzei, same by the ear. Yad L'Chasuda Tikatzei, if he puts it by the whole of Hakazas Adam, where you do bloodletting. Yad L'Ama Tikatzei, by the Aver. Yad L'Pita Bas Tikatzei, by the Pita Bas, where the tzoa comes out. Yad L'Gigis Tikatzei, if he puts his hand on a barrel of beer before he washed Netilas Yadayim, it's better to cut off that hand than to drink such beer. Yad Misame, the hand an unwashed hand has the ability to blind the person. Yad Mechareshes, to make a person deaf. And Yad Malapolifus, and it causes a bad smell, a bad breath, and a bad smell from his nose as well. Tain Rabbi Nosson Omer Baschorinizu, this Ruach Ra that relates to the hands before you do Netilas Yadayim is like it roams freely, and it will still be there until you wash your hands three times. The only way to remove this Ruach Ra is by washing the hands three times. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Puch Mavir Bas Melech, the chol that one puts on one's eyes, if you put it on the eyes, it takes away this Ruach Ra if it had damaged the eyes. Meaning, if one had done this, if one had touched his eyes before Netilas Yadayim, so you should put some chol that people put, some ointment that people put on their eyes, and that will take care of it. Uposik Asadima, this ointment also will stop tearing. Umar Beseir Bafapayim, and will give a person more healthy, hairy eyebrows. Tanya Namihachi, Rabbi Yos Yomer Puch Mavir Bas Melech. And the Bryce identifies all of these qualities that putting this eye ointment will actually do. That it will get rid of this bas melech, this ruach ra, and it will have this effect on tearing and on the hairs of the eyebrows. Now this idea that a ruach ra, it's explicit in the Gemara that you have this ruach ra and that you need netila three times and that it's very dangerous without it, and that's why we pask in this way in Shulchan Aruch, that a person should not touch anything, any part of his body, any open, any holes of his body, any open areas of his body, without doing Netilas Yadayim first. Most curious, though, is that the Rambam doesn't mention this halacha. Gemara Mufureshes, the Rambam doesn't mention it at all. So the Lecha Mishnah in Hilcha Shvisa Sasar, Paragimel Halacha Beis, says that from the Rambam in the fourth parak of Hilchas Tefillah, not mentioning Netilas Yadayim three times, must hold that we don't have to be choshish for Netilas Yadayim Shachris L'Ruach Ruach Ra, because Ruach Ra is no longer Mitzuya Beinenu. That's how the Rambam understood that we don't have a Ruach Ra anymore. That's what the Marshal writes in Yam Shel Shlomo in the 8th Parak of Chulin, that nowadays we don't have a Ruach Ra of Netilas Yadayim that's commonly found, and therefore you don't need to be Netilas Yadayim Shachris for any other reason other than Nikius, just to keep your hands clean, and you may have touched unclean things, but there's no longer a Ruach Ra according to this view of the Rambam. Nafkamina between Nikius versus Ruach Ra is Ruach Ra requires 3 Netilos, Nikius would only require 2 Netilos. And the Malbim in the Arzah Sechaim in Siman Dalit says that that if you look in the entirety of the Sefer Yad HaChazaka of the Rambam, you'll find he never mentions anything about those things that the Gemara tells us that relate to Skulos, because according to the Rambam, Nishtana Ativim, based on the Medinos that we live in right now, and we no longer have any of these Ruchos Ra'os, and that's why he never brings anything, any of the Nistaros, and you don't find anything about Ruach Ra anywhere in the writings of the Rambam. So in the Sefer Told Us Adam, it tells about the Rav Zalman Mivilna, that he was knowing before he'd go to sleep, he'd put on gloves or he'd put his sleeves over his hands to make sure that he wouldn't touch any parts of his body that are unclean, and then as soon as he would wake up, he would right away learn without washing his hands, because if you hold like the Rambam, there's no longer a Ruach Ra, and as long as it's only an issue of Nikius, so then he didn't have any issues of Nikius. So in the Sefer Nimukei Arachayim, he says that it's Merav Sanigra, it's unbelievable to say such a thing. That Rav Zalman of Mivilna, such a tzaddik, he never washed Netilas Yadayim. He was a Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, right? The Vilna Gaon would be Notel Yadav even Letfilas Mincha. He would wash his hands even for Mincha, because the Gra held that, and he would be Mevarich on that Netilas Yadayim, because the Gra held that the reason for Netilas Yadayim is also to prepare one, like a Kohen prepares for the Avoda. So the Tfilas Mincha, which is Keneged Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim, he would wash his hands for that as well. And it's Mefurish in Shulchan Aruch that you have to wash your hands 3 times in the morning in Bisirugin, because of Ruach Ra Balayla, and that's Beferish in the Zohar HaKadosh. So the Gra did that as well. Bira Gra quotes all of that. So that's definitely the sheet of the Gra. So there's no way Rav Zalman Mivilna didn't wash the Tfilas Yadayim in the morning. He refuses to accept any such report. Bottom line is, it is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. So whether the Rambam brings it or not, but we definitely passing like this in Shulchan Aruch. V'marukva Amar Shmuel Alin, a certain type of a weed, Ein Behem Yishum Refua, is not considered Refua, because it doesn't really help to make one's eyes better. Amar of Yosef Kuzbarta, coriander, Ein Behem Yishum Refua, also eating it is not a Refua. Amar of Sheshes Koshus, Ein Behem Yishum Refua, that hops are not a refuah. Amar of Yosef, Kuzbarta afilu didi kashali. So if Yosef says, forget about not being refuah, I'm a blind man, and even me, it's bad for me. It hurts my eyes when I have it. You would think my eyes can't get any worse because I'm already blind, and it's bad for me. So the Tosfos raises the question, why did Rav Yosef have to say that Kuzbarta is not mishum refuah if it's mazik? So of course, if it's mazik, it's eino merape. So Tosfos answers that since there are some people that make the mistake and think that it has a refuah because they get hanah from it in some way, so that's why Rav Yosef had to say, no, it's not mishum refuah, plus it's mazik. A lot of times you have things like that, things that seem like they're, people believe they're refuah because they seem like they're so enjoyable. How could it not be something that's making the body stronger and making the body better? And then we find out that it's something that's terribly mazik the body, right? One would have imagined that eating fatty foods is a wonderful refuah. It makes you feel so full, and it makes you so, and it's so delicious or whatever. So you have to be told, no, not only is it not refuah, that it's mazik the body. You read some of the early achronim when they discuss smoking cigarettes on Yantif. So they say that smoking cigarettes on Yantif are, maybe you're allowed to do it, even if it's eino shava l'kol nefesh, because anything that's mishum refuah is shava l'kol nefesh. And it's so healthy, because it calms your nerves, and it clears your mind, and it, so they believed by looking at the way it, the way the smoker enjoys his cigarette, that it must be mishum refuah. And it turns out that it's the worst thing in the whole world. It's the worst thing a person could do to his body. So it's not so crazy that a person would think that something's mishum refuah and need to be told, no, not only is it not refuah, but it's actually mazik a person's body. Amar Rav Sheshes, gargira afilu lididi, gargira even for me, even a blind person, mali, it's good for my eyes. Vam maruk vam rishmol, kol mine kashu sharu, all types of kashus are mutter to eat on Shabbos, because it's not obvious that you're doing it l'refuah, lebar mi taroza, except for taroza, which is a certain type of hops that you're not allowed to eat on Shabbos because the people would only eat it for refuah. So you're making it very obvious that you're taking it for refuah. Amar Rav Chisa, Shirka Tav Yashari. You're allowed to rub oil and eggs on a hot roasted piece of meat, and it's not a violation of Nira Kimisakin when you do that, as long as Rashi points out it's not boiling hot, because then it's going to be a violation of Bishul. So Rashi understands that Shirka Tavya means to rub on a roasted piece of meat, oil and eggs. Tosos and the Ramban, however, based on Rabbeinu Chananel, say Shirka Tavya is actually watermelon juice that they would that you would strain and drink in order to be Mishalshal a person, to help a person go to the bathroom. And Rav Chista allowed straining on Shabbos, and it's not a violation of Borer, because it's Roy Lachila as a watermelon itself, even without straining it. So based on that, you understand the Shaychus, Rav Chista says, Shrika Tavya Tower Sugya, which is all about Refuah on Shabbos, because this was something that was taken for Refuah, but you're allowed to strain it on Shabbos. Piapue Bey, to beat eggs, Usser is Usser, because it looks like you're about to make yourself scrambled eggs. Debitu Deziri of Delay, Lechia Barashi, Debitu Deziri, Zeiri's wife, where it was beating eggs on basting eggs rather on a roasted meat for Chia Barashi. Velo Achal, but Chia Barashi would not eat from it. Chia Barashi was her husband. I thought Zeiri was her husband. Zeiri was her first husband. She's Debitu Deziri, she's known as the wife of Zeiri. Now she's remarried to Chia Barashi, so she's making all the same dishes that she used to make for Zeiri, now for her new husband. But her new husband refuses to eat it. Samrelay, she said, the Rabba Chavdilei, I did this for Zeiri, who is far greater than you. My first husband was a bigger Talmud Chacham. He was your Rebbe, and he would eat it. Va'achal va'atlo achalto, but you're too holy to eat it. So Zeiri, Litame, and this is Zeiri Lishitaso, that you're allowed to do this on Shabbos. Damar Zeiri, Nosin Adam Yayin Solim, Mayim Sulin, Litocham Hashmeris. A person is allowed to put clear water or clear wine that's Roy Lishtia into a strainer, Bishabbos. Veinu Choshish, you don't have to worry that it's a violation of Borer. Alma, Kivin Demishta Sihachi, Lav Midi Ka'avid. Because since it could be drunk that way without straining it, so it's not considered that you really did an act of Borer. So Achnami, Kivin Demitchalachi, so over here as well, since the Tzli is Roy Lachila, without basting it with the shemen and the beitzim, la midi kavit, so the basting with the shemen and the beitzim is not considered to be a violation of an isser, because it's not near a kemisakein, the item was perfectly fine beforehand. Good, v'amamar ukva, mishun ukva yodo araglo tzum sabiyayin veinu choshish. If a person had a wound on his hand or on his foot, he should soak it in wine, and in order to stop the bleeding, and he doesn't have to be choshish, and it's a violation of refuah on Shabbos. So yibayiluhu, chalamai, what about using vinegar? So I'm Rav Hillel Ravashi ki avina be Rav Kahana. When I was in Rav Kahana's Beis Medrash, Amri chalolo. They said over there, no, you can't soak in vinegar. That's merape the maka. That's going to be a violation of refuah on Shabbos. Amar Rava vahani b'nei mechuzah kiven de mefanki, the b'nei mechuzah who are such m'unagim, they're such istanisim, afilu chamrenami masiluhu. So even wine, which is only a little bit strong, is going to have therapeutic value. And therefore, they're not allowed to soak their wounds even in wine. Ravina ikle be Ravashi. Ravina was once in the house of Ravashi. Chazi didrich lechamra agaba dekare, and he saw that a donkey had trampled on the top of his foot. So Yosef katzama sebichala. So he started immediately soaking his foot in vinegar for refuah to treat the wound. Amle lo sablamar lahadamar da amar Rav Hillel chalolo. What about the fact? Don't you hold that you're not allowed to use vinegar for these purposes? That it's violation of refuah. I'm like gava yad v'gava regel shiny. The back of the hand or the back of the foot is different. You're allowed to be merape these things. You're allowed to be mechal Shabbos to be merape the back of your hand or the back of your foot. Ikada amri. And another version of the story is chazi de katzamus lebechamra. He saw Ravashi was soaking his foot in wine. So I'm like lo sov lamar lahadam rava ani b'nei mechuzah kivin de mefanki afilu chamra nami masilu. Don't you know that the b'nei mechuzah that since they're mefunakim they're not even allowed to soak their feet in wine? Umar nami. Mufanik, and you're also a Mufunuk. Amale Gavi Yad Vegav Regel Shiny, Damar Rav Adbar Masra, Amar Rav, Gavi Yad Vegav Regel, Arein Kamaka Shel Cholol. No, the back of the hand, the back of the foot, that's a very dangerous area of the body. That's like a Maka Shel Cholol. That's like an internal organ that's injured, and Mechal and Alein as a Shabbos. And therefore, you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for the sake of such treatments. It's considered like the Cholol Aguf, and the reason is, the Arzarua explains, because there are a lot of gidim on the top of the foot and the top of the hand, and therefore that connects to everything, so it's a particularly dangerous area of the body to have a wound. I don't know whether medically, the current medical science views the back of the hand and the back of the foot in such a way, but that's certainly the way the Gemara assumes, that it's considered a makom of a particular sakana if a person has a wound in those areas of his body. Tanu Rabbanan, rochsin b'mei gerar, b'mei chamasin, b'mei asya. A person is allowed to bathe in these waters on Shabbos, even though there's a high salt content in these waters. They're not quite the Yam HaMelech, but there's a high salt content in these waters, so it has therapeutic value. Still, you're allowed to go in those waters on Shabbos, or in the Mei Tveria, even though Mei Tveria are warm. It's Cham Mei Tveria. Avelo b'yam HaGadol, velo b'mei Mishra, velo b'yam HaShel Sodom. Three things you're not allowed to bathe in: the Yam HaGadol, because the Mei Mishra, which is water that they would soak flax in, which was gross, and the only reason anyone would ever bathe in it was for refuah purposes. Otherwise, it was smelly and disgusting, and no one would ever want to be there. So obviously, it's making it too obvious that it's for refuah. And the Yam Shel Sodom, the Yam HaMelech, also, which is not the derech to bathe in, because it's so salty. The Rambam writes that the reason that it's also is because it's a tsar to bathe in these things. And the Karasa L'Shabbos Oneg, that forget about the Yisur of Nira Kirafuah, that it's painful to bathe in these things, and a person is supposed to have an Oneg Shabbos, so it's going to ruin his Oneg Shabbos to be in these bodies of water. Anyway, so ask the Gemara Stiro, Reminhu, Rochtim, B'mei Tveria, B'yam HaGadol. You are allowed to bathe in the Yam HaGadol, Avalob Mishra, Avalob Yam HaShel Sodom, but this Braisa agrees about the other two things, about the Yam HaGadol, about the Yam HaShel Tveria, about Mei Mishra, rather, and the Yam HaMelech, but Kashi Yam HaGadol, Yam HaGadol, but here we have a stira about whether you're allowed to bathe in the Yam HaGadol on Shabbos. So the Gemara is going to have three resolutions to this stira. Number one, Amar Rabbi Yochanan lo kasha, ha Rabbi Meir, ha Rabbi Yehuda. The second brisa that allows the Yam HaGadol, that's Rabbi Meir, who's not mechalik between the Yam HaGadol and all other oceans. The first brisa that asers the Yam HaGadol, distinguishes Yam HaGadol, follows Rabbi Yehuda, who distinguishes between Yam HaGadol and all other oceans. Where do we find such a machlok? Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, ditnan. It's a Mishnah in Maseches Para that also appears in Maseches Mikvaos. It's in both places because there are two separate dinim that distinguish a mikvah from a mayan. A mayan, a spring of water, which we call mayim chayim, is kosher for a tevila of a zav and for a hazah stam tzipor mitzora, and for the Kiddush Mechatas, that's why it's Maseches Para, for the preparation of the waters with the Efer Para Aduma, all of that requires Mayim Chaim in the Torah. So mikvah is not kosher for those things. You need Dafka, a Mayan. The second difference between them is that a Mayan is Metaher if someone is Tovelin it, even when the water is flowing, because that's the nature of a Mayan, that the water is moving, the water is flowing. However, a mikvah is only Metaher when the water is stagnant. If the water is flowing, a mikvah doesn't have the capacity to be metaher. So the Mishnah tells us as follows: Kol hayamim kamikvah. All oceans have the status of a mikvah, not a mayan, as far as both of these dinim. That all of these oceans do not have a din of mayim chayim, and the water is only kosher l'tvila if it's standing still. Shnemar l'mikvah hamayim kor hayamim divrei Meir, because Rav Meir darshan, because the pasuk says in Bereishis, ul'mikvah hamayim kor hayamim. So you see that the yam is referred to as a mikvah. Rabbi Yehuda Amar yam hagadol kamikvah. Then no, the Yam HaGadol has a din of a mikvah, doesn't have a din of a mayim chayim, because that's what a mikvah hamayim kara yamim is referring to, by Maisa Bereishis, where all the waters gathered together in the Yam HaGadol, but the rest of the yamim have a din of a mayan. V'lo ne'amar yamim, elish yesh bo mine yamim harbe. The reason the pasuk says yamim b'loshon rabim, even though it's only about the Yam HaGadol, was because the Yam HaGadol, the ocean, has different parts of it, where depending on where you are, the fish will taste entirely different from different places. And there are different types of fish in different places. That's what Rashi writes in Chumash, that Eino Dome Tam Dag Ha'ole Ba'ako L'Tam Dag Ha'ole Ba'Espamya. So even though it's all part of the Yam Gadol, they're entirely different. That's why it's called Yamin. Rabbi Yossi, but then Rabbi Yossi has a different Shita. Kol Yamin Mitarin B'Zochlin. All oceans are Mitar, even though the water is moving, but Upsulim L'Zavim L'Tzorim L'Kadosh Ben Mechatos. But as far as what it's Mitaher, it's possible for a Zav, for a Mitzorah, and to be Mekadosh Mechatos, meaning it has a din of a mikveh in that regard. It doesn't have a din of Mayim Chayim, because the Torah does, in fact, call it a mikveh. So the reason we're quoting all of this is because we're trying to highlight the Shitos of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, not the Shita of, we're not really trying to highlight the Shita of Rabbi Yossi over here, even though that seems to be the way we passkin like the Shita of Rabbi Yossi, but that's not the point that we're trying to bring over here. Meaning the point that we're trying to bring over here is that Rabbi Meir is not mechalik between the Yama Gadol and other Yamim. He holds that they all have the same halachic status, so he's going to hold that you're allowed to bathe in Shabbos on the Yama Gadol just like you are in other Yamim. But Rabbi Yehuda is mechalik between the Yama Gadol and other Yamim, so he's going to hold that it's also to bathe on Shabbos in the Yama Gadol. So Maskel Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak challenges. The Gemara asks, what's the comparison between the machlokas legabe a mikvah and the isser to bathe on Shabbos because it's merape? He says, wait a second, emer depalig le'inyan tumah v'tara. It makes sense that they disagree with regard to tumah and tara. They disagree about the pasuk of kara yamim, but le'inyan Shabbos mishamadu. But whether you're allowed to bathe in the Yama Gadol on Shabbos mishum refua, do we ever find that there's such a machlokas? And therefore, we don't like this explanation, says the Gemara. The Gemara therefore rejects explanation number one. So again, the Gemara had a stira. Are you allowed to bathe in Yama Gadol or not? So we had a stira between two brises. So now the Gemara gave one answer. Rabbi Yochanan's answer was, it's an old machlokas from Meir Rabbi Yehuda whether we view Yama Gadol is the same as all other Yamin. But now, says Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak, I don't like that answer, because what does Tumah and Tara have anything to do with Refuah on Shabbos? So answer number two. Elam Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak, a different suggestion. Lo kasha, hadi ishtoi, hadi lo ishtoi. The brisa that does not allow bathing in Yama Gadol is talking about where you stay there in the water, so it's obvious that you're doing it for refuah. The brisa that allows bathing in Yama Gadol is talking where you don't stay there very long, and therefore it doesn't look like refuah. It looks like you're just quickly washing yourself off. But mayu kimta lebasraisa. The problem is, how did you explain the second brisa that allows bathing in the Yama Gadol? Delo ishtai. You made an ukimta that it's some other case where you just were in and out. You didn't stay there for very long. Well, idelo ishtai. If we're talking about a case where you didn't stay there, afil b'me mishranami, then you should even be allowed to bathe in flax water, in the disgusting water that flax is soaked in. Tatanix, after all, the brisa tells us, rochtzin b'me tveria b'me mishro b'yama shel sodom v'afil b'shir shel chatatim b'rosho. A person may bathe in the flax water and in the Yama Melech and in the Chamei Tveria, even if he has some wounds on his head, and it therefore looks like refuah. But medvar mamurim shelo nishtah, as long as he doesn't stay in there too long. Avon nishtah aser, only if he stays there for a while is it going to be aser. So you see that if you're not if in the water for too long, you're even allowed to make mishra. So you can't say that the latter brisa that we quoted on Amud Aleph is talking about a case where you were not in the water for too long, because the brisa asers going into Mei Mishra. So it must be talking about where a person was in the water for a while. Most of the Rishonim understand, the Ramban, the Rashba, many other Rishonim, when the brisa says Bamedvar Mamurim Shalonishtohe, that it's not talking about Rechitza B'mei Tveria. That's not talking about in the Chamei Tveria. Only in Rechitza B'mei Mishra and in the Yama Melech. But Mei Tveria, even if you stay there for a long time, and even if you have Pitzayim Barosho, you have injuries that are cured by the Mei Tveria, you're allowed to bathe in it, because the Brisa that we had in Amud Aleph that said Avalo B'Yama Gadol, the Gemara said that was talking about Benishtahe, and yet that Brisa said you're allowed to stay in the, you're allowed to bathe in the Mei Tveria, because even though you're staying in them for a while, it doesn't look like refuah, because it's so enjoyable. The Chamei Tveria, it looks like you're doing it because you enjoy it. That's why you're staying there. Not, I mean, in flax water why in the world would you be sitting in there if not for the fact that it's refuah? So you may need to quickly go in and cool off, or but to stay in it. But when it comes to the chamei teveria, there's good reason that someone would stay in it. So that's the way most of the rishonim understand. The Bach in Or Chaim Simshin Chavchas disagrees. He says when the Bryce says b'medvar m'mshalim nishtah, it's even talking about mei teveria, that they only allow mei teveria for a quick dip, but also not to be nishtah for too long. That's against Rov Rishonim, though. Okay, but either way, says the Gemara now, we now rejected Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak's resolution to the stira about Yama Gadol. So now, Ella, Yama Gadol, Lokasha, a third and final answer, Habi Yafin Shabo, Habi Raim Shabo. The Braisa that allows washing in the Yama Gadol is talking about the clean and pristine waters of the Yama Gadol that don't have such a high salt content, where it would be normal for a person to bathe in them even during the week, and it's not nicker that it's for refuah. With the Braisa that asks is talking about the Raim Shabo, the parts of the Yama Gadol that are very maluach, to the point that it's obvious that you're only going there for refuah. May Mishra, May Mishra, Nami Lokasha. It's also not a steer in the Braisa between the flax water on the Braisa that we brought earlier, because Hadishtai, Hadaloshtai, May Mishra will all depend on how long you stay in the May Mishra. The Braisa that Asr it is if you stay in for too long. The Braisa that do not Asr it, or where you don't stay in for too long. Okay, new Mishnah. This Mishnah is also about refuah, but when we talk about refuah, this Mishnah highlights the halacha that if you're having something that's a Michael Briam, you're eating something that healthy people normally eat, that's going to be mutter. It's only a violation of refuah if you're having something that looks like it's refuah. Ein ochlin izavion b'shabbos l'fishenu machal briyim. Izavion, a certain type of ezov, is not machal briyim. Avalochlu es yoez v'shosa abar broa. These are things that have therapeutic value, but are a machal briyim. Kol ochlin ochl adam l'refuah. A person can eat anything for refuah. V'kol mashkin shosa chutz mi mei dekalim, except for mei dekalim v'kos ikarin. And a mashka that they would crush up roots into, because that's clearly to treat jaundice. But a person can have made the dekalim for his thirst if he's not sick. V'sach shemen ikarin, and the shemen with the roots of the besamim and the yirakos, shalol refuah, you can have for non refuah purposes. The Gemara is going to explain what the Mishnah is coming to tell us. That kol ochel adam v'kol mashkin shosa. We're going to see that in tomorrow's daf. What's the riboy over there? The Gemara Maseches Brachos in daf lamed ches tells us that the Mishnah allows eating machal briyim only when it's kavanasa la'achila and the refuah happens memela, when you're just trying to eat and the refuah is just something that automatically happens. But you're not allowed to eat it, says the Gemara in Brachos Taf Lamed Ches, when your kavana is for refuah. And that's how Rashi's, the Bir Lech is medayik from Rashi as well. However, the Rambam holds that you're allowed to eat a machal briyim even when your intention is for refuah. You're not feeling well and you have a cold, so you eat the chicken soup on Friday night. You don't normally not so makbid to have chicken soup on Friday night, but you dafka, why not have the chicken soup dafka because you have a cold? So the Bir Alach explains that. How's the Rambam going to explain the Gemara in Brachos that says that it's all about the kavana? So he says, no, it doesn't mean kavanasa la'achila v'lo l'refuah. It means that if someone sees you, it will be obvious to them that it's kavanasa l'refuah v'lo l'achila. That's where it's going to be a problem. But if it looks like you're just eating chicken soup like everybody else eats chicken soup, even though you have a cold, and even though your intention is for refuah, the Rambam would say that that's perfectly fine. A person is allowed to have a hot tea or a chicken soup or whatever, even though his intention is for refuah on Shabbos. When we talk about this notion of Michael Briam, there's an interesting discussion in some of the contemporary poskim. You know, there's a halacha mefreshes in Shulchan Aruch that before a person takes any medication, he should say yihi ratzon, a little tefillah that we have on our medicine cabinet. We have my wife put the tefillah on the inside of the medicine cabinet. Remember, when you take Advil or you take a Tylenol or whatever, I'm not advertising for Advil, whichever painkiller you like, when you take any sort of medication, a person is supposed to say yihi ratzon she'esek zeh yeh li l'refuah, that tefillah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should make, that it should be a refuah. So are you allowed to do that on Shabbos? Meaning, if you're taking something that is That's for health reasons, but it's a Michael Briam, so you're allowed to say such a Yihiratzon. So in the Tshuva, Sisarus Tshuva, he says that when you're having a Michael Briam, you're not allowed to say the Yihiratzon, because there's no greater way of drawing attention to the fact that you're taking it L'shem Rafua than saying that that Yihiratzon. There is also discussion in Poskim, what about those cases where you're allowed to take medicine on Shabbos? Are you allowed to say, should you say the Yihiratzon, or maybe you need to be Meshana a little bit, because the Shulchan Aruch writes in Simen Reish Samach Zayin, when you're Mevaker Chola on Shabbos, you shouldn't say the same things you say on a weekday. You should say Shabbos Milizok Urufor Krav Olavo. So maybe when you take a medication also, you shouldn't say the same passage that you would normally say. So there's a discussion amongst contemporary poskim. Rav Sturmbach writes in a tshuva in Chelek Dalet of Tshuvas Van Hagos that Shabbos Milizok is a tefillah, and you're saying that the Kedushas of Shabbos should help for the Rafua, and you're being mispala, the Kedushas of Shabbos should provide therapeutic value. So that's a part of the Tefillah, so it makes sense to say it makes sense to say Yihiratzon Sheyesek L'Rafua, because it's Mechazik one's Bitachon, that he knows that the Rafua comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so Chola should get Chizik from saying such a thing. Okay, says the Gemara now. Amrav Yosef, Ezov, identifying what an Ezov is, Avrasa Bar Hamak, it's a certain, whatever, it's a type of a plant. Izavon, Avrasa Bar Hinag, Ula Amar, Mrava Chivara, it's a type of a plant, Ula, a different type of plant, Ula Ikla Lebei, Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Ula went to Bar Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Aisul Kamei, Mrava Chivara, they brought this white plant, Amar, Hainu Ezov Diksiv Bar Aisa, he was able to identify it, he said, oh, that's the Ezov that the Torah talks about. Rav Papi Amar Shumshuk, that Ezov is Shumshuk. Amr Rabbi Yirmi Midifti Kavas Eid Rav Papi Mestavra. It's more Mestavra to say like Rav Papi. Ditnan Mitzvahs Ezov Shlosha Kalachin. The Mitzvah of Ezov is with three roots. Ubehen Shlosha Gevolin, and each of those have three stalks. V'shumshuk hu d'mishtach chahachi. And Shumshuk matches the description. I'm not translating the words. You can look in art school and get the translations, but I don't think they're any better than reading it in the Aramaic. I don't think you would know. I wouldn't know what the English words are either. You have to just be able to identify the items. L'mayachule, for what refuah do you eat the izavion? L'kukiani, for a person who has stomach worms. B'mayachule, with what does he eat it? B'sheva tamri ukamta, with seven black dates. Mimai havya, and where do those stomach worms come from? Mikimcha desari dechalef alei arba'in yomin, from eating a barley flour that was ground more than 40 days ago. Aval ochalu es yo ezer, you're allowed to eat yo ezer. May yo ezer, putamk, it's a certain type of a mint leaf. L'mayachule, what would you eat it for? L'arkasa, for liver worms. With what do you eat it? B'sheva tamri chivarta, with seven white dates. Mimai havya, how does one get liver worms? Me'umtza libere kana, from eating roasted meat that was roasted on coals on an empty stomach. U'mibisra shamnan, from fatty meat a libere kana on an empty stomach. U'mibisra datura, and from ox meat a libere kana on an empty stomach. Me'amguza libere kana, or from an egos on an empty stomach. U'migire duruvia, or from the shoots of tiltan a libere. And then when you drink water after you ate these things before you ate one of these things before having eaten anything else. V'ilo, and if you don't have putank to cure you, live l'tachli chivarta. You should swallow white cress. V'ilo leisiv betanisa, and if you don't have the ability to do that, then you should fast. V'leisi bisra shamnav lishti agumri, and take fatty meat and put it on coals. V'leimitz garma, and suck a limb of that meat so that the fat will come into your mouth. V'lig mechala, and drink some vinegar. V'ika damri chalalo mishum dekashi lekavda. Then no, not vinegar. That's bad for the liver. V'lo laisi gudu di santa. Otherwise, you bring a bark of a bush. Degri de meiloi letsayv lo metsayv la'aloi. That was scraped off from top to bottom and not from bottom to top. Dil menafki adi pume. Maybe the taloyim will come out, the worms will come out through your mouth. Vilishkala b'shichra bar shivchi, and you should weigh it or cook it rather, cook in sheichar during ben hashmashos. Ulamachar niskarininu lenakvin didei vilishtei. You should close your nostrils so you don't smell it, because the smell will kill you, and then drink it. V'chimifni mifni a pshicha tedikla, and when a person has to then use leave the bathroom, he should do so in a place where a dekel tree was cut down. Vishosna babrua, and we drink ababrua. My ababrua, chumatria. My chumatria, chutri yichida. It's a type of tree that grows alone without any branches, and you cook it in water. L'may avdile, what ailment do you make it for? L'galuya, if you drink mayim agulim. V'ilo, and if you don't have that type of eitz to drink, so what do? L'si chamsha kalili, bring 5 roses, v'chamsha kusata d'shichra, and 5 cups of beer. V'nishlukinu ba'di adodi adekaima anpaka v'nishti, and you should cook them together until it's a revius halug, and then you drink it. Se'imei d'ravachtovi barami, avdile lehu gavra, she made for someone who drank mayim agulim, chad kalila v'chad kosta d'shichra, with 1 kalila and 1 kos of shechar, 1 rose and 1 kos of shechar, shalka v'yishkise, and he drank it, v'shagra tanur v'grafte, and then she lit up the oven and swept out the coals afterwards, so the oven won't be too hot, v'osvise levinta begave, and she put a brick in the oven in order that it should sit on the brick and not burn, v'nafa kuhutza yarka, and then he spit out, he vomited out this venom that he had swallowed, and it looked like a leaf of a lulav. Ravavya amar raviyasa dechalva mi'izah chivarta, that if someone drinks mayim agulim, the cure is a revius of goat milk, of white goat milk. Ravuna bar yuda amar laisi esroga chalisa, he should take a very sweet esrog, v'lechayke, and he should hollow it out, v'lmali duvsha, and fill it with honey, v'losva be'milali dinura v'lichle, and put it on the gachal, on coals, on hot embers, so that the esrog with the honey would cook, and then you should eat it. Rav Chanina Amar, Rav Chanina says that someone who drank mayim agulim, mei raglayim b'nei arbayim yom, urine that's 40 days old, barzina lezibura, in a very tiny kos from that mei raglayim, and you drink that, and it will be a refuah. Raviyasa la'akrava, one revius of a lug, he should drink of this if he was bit by an akrav, palga revia legiluya, and a half of a revius if he drank mayim agulim. Revia afiluk shafmalu, and if he drinks a full revius, that will even help for kishuf, if he was subject to kishuf. Amrab Yochanan, anigron va'avangar vitiryaka malu bein legiluya bein lukshafim. That these particular cooked beets and cooked vegetables of a certain type of an herb and tirakia, whatever that is, all of these things are good for someone who drank mayim agulim or for someone who was subject to kishuf in some way or another. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Haiman de Bala Chivya with a little more refuah discussion. Have a great day, everybody.